the buzzer, McCord on its way. Oh, oh my goodness. Oh.
They have to get it. No timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Whenever you listen to this, thank you for listening to it. It is Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the best podcast you will ever hear. In fact, it has been dubbed by some the world's greatest podcast, two-time ACC Coach of the Year, and quite frankly, the Coach Whisperer. And I'm going to get into that.
Seth
Greenberg joins me, Dan Dockage. Seth, let's jump right into it. Michigan State, number one, AP poll. Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, Louisville. Round out the top five. Your thoughts off the top of your noggin.
Well, you know, it's easy to put Michigan State number one because obviously they went to the Final Four. They have a number of players back. Now they lose Kenny Goins. And remember now, Kenny Goins, now that is the best ball screen defender in college basketball, maybe last year. They get Josh Langford back. Do they get Josh Langford at 100%? Do they get him at 75%? Do they get him 50%? They get Cassius Winston, who obviously, you know, to me, could win player of the year. So I think that, look, it's easy to put him number one. I think if you ask Tom Izzo right now today, he wouldn't put him number one. He would say they have a chance to be the best team in the country. Front court depth is a concern. I'll tell you the other one that's a surprise to me, and I said it last week. Louisville at number five. Why are we all seduced by Louisville? I think Louisville is really good. They also lost 8 of the last 10. They also lost their point guard. They have Fresh Kimball coming in, transfers from St. Joe's. I like Darius Perry because of his ability to defend. Jordan Warr is a very good player. But, you know, if you lose 8 of your last 10, I just have a hard time of jumping you starting the season at number five. I really like Kansas. I think I like their experience. I like their depth. I like their point guard play and Devin Dotson. I think I could see them as a number one. I think Kentucky's front court, that might be a little high. Their front court has to prove it to me. Your boy Nick Richards got to prove it to me. They've got to get Keon Brooks, see what he can do. I do love Nate Sestina. I got a chance to see them practice for a couple times last week. I do like their team. I think their team is really good. I think they're an elite defensive team. But I don't know. There's some areas that I understand why people vote the way they vote, but I think there's 10 and 12 teams that have a chance to be number one this year.
Louisville got beaten in a secret scrimmage by Ohio State.
It wasn't so secret then.
Yeah, well, I mean, all these secret scrimmages, everybody posts the box score from them, right? So it's not secret. I'm with you on Louisville. Interesting to me, the number one and number two teams in the country, Michigan State and Kentucky, are coached by coaches that actually yell at players. Holy hell! They get on players. They demand out of players there, big boy. Think about that.
Well, I think guys can't be afraid to coach their teams.
Right.
I mean, I think we have too much issue in college basketball that everyone's afraid of coaching their teams. And look, you can demand. You can be tough. You can have a standard, and the standard needs to be the standard. If you continue to lower and raise the standard, then you really have no standard. There's a standard at Michigan State. There's a standard at Kentucky. And you know what? Players are held accountable to. They know what they're buying into. Like anyone who goes to those places know what they're buying into. So like the whole thing, I go watch practice. Some guys challenge and demand of their team. Some guys do it differently. Everyone does it to their own personality. My key is coach to your own personality. But if you're afraid to coach your team, if you're afraid to demand of your team, or you're afraid to set an expectation and a standard, then you're going to win the games you're supposed to win. You're not going to beat the people you need to beat.
I'm going to give you a team that I think is rated too low. You ready?
Okay.
And myself, I wasn't critical of the hiring of Penny Hardaway. I was critical of the way it was handled with a class guy like Tubby Smith. And I'll stay
totally agree.
Yeah, I'll stay critical. And I think Memphis. I watched Penny Hardaway last year. I thought Penny Hardaway was a really good basketball coach in game. I really did. And he took a group, won some games with a group that was kind of pieced together. Now he's got a big time. Maybe the player of the year in the country was a James Weissman. And big old kid. I think that at 14, I think at some point, given their schedule, they play on the 14th of December, a hell of a game. It'll be Tennessee and Memphis. That's going to be a game of the year in the Mid-South. I like Memphis to move into the top 10 at some point, maybe the top five at some point. And the other team, and I think you really like this team, Miles Powell and the guys from Seton Hall, they're 12th. They have a chance to do better than that.
I agree with you on both ends. I think here, and you and I are totally in agreement on the Penny Hardaway situation. I don't care who Memphis hires. I really don't care. And obviously they made a great hire, and he's brought great energy and passion and ownership. And look, he's got his own shoe. He's got his own little bobblehead doll. I mean, the guy's a bad, and he's hired a terrific staff. But there's a way, and every school has a right to fire someone, but they don't have a right to embarrass someone. And it's not what you do, it's how you do it. You know, everyone says you got to, you know, you can disagree without being disagreeable, and you can be demanding without being demeaning. Well, you know what? Administrators, you can use those lines all you want, but the deal is you can make a change. But you know what? The manner in which you make a change, there's a right and a wrong way to do it. And that was my problem. Memphis is really good. Now, point guard play is going to be the concern. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I don't think Tyler Harris, the little guy, you know, kind of a volume shooter, only shot 31% from three-point line. I don't think he's a point guard, even as fast as they play. They're going to play fast. They're going to play a lot of bodies. I think that's going to be a really interesting thing. The kid Ba, everyone tells me, is going to be the guy. He's a big physical guard. He's got strength. You know, they got big time players. Wiseman is really good. Chukwu is really, really good. Big physical inside type player. DJ Jeffries originally was going to go to Kentucky. Boogie Ellis was going to go to Duke. It will take time. It will not happen overnight, but there's just too much talent. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. We'll talk about it later, Dan, but we talked about like, who's the next Zion? Well, you know, I'm not sure who's the next Zion, but will Memphis as a team be the next Zion, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That could, like, a team might take the place of that basically catches the imagination of the basketball fan. And it could be in Memphis because they're really, really talented. I saw Seton Hall. Let me tell you something. They're good. And Miles Powell, see, I don't think a senior can capture the imagination of the basketball.
No, not anymore.
Community. Because he's been around too long. It's like, oh, yeah, why he's so good. Why is he coming back? He's a senior. That guy is good, and that team is good. And you talk about another guy, not afraid to coach his team. They got a little basement practice gym just for men's basketball, like off the beaten path. And Kevin Willard has an incredible relationship with his players. And, you know, basically Miles Powell said, that's my guy. I love that guy. That's why I came back. I came back for Coach Willard. And yet Coach Willard coaches him really hard, and he coaches the rest of their team hard. They got great size, athleticism, experience, toughness, and they got a dude. I think if there's a better guard in the country than Miles Powell, then that dude is really good because Miles Powell is terrific.
We're going to see. Let's just do this for real quick, and then I want to get into the Zion Williamson stuff. If I were going to say to you, all right, you got Michigan State, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, Tua and Louisville, all right? You got five teams. Two of them are going to stay in the Final Four, whichever, or in the top five all year, which maybe they will, maybe they won't, but you know how this goes, all right? You're going to add three teams that are outside right now the top five, okay? You're going to say these three teams will jump up into the top five now, not 10, five, at some point in the college basketball season. Who would those three teams be?
Florida, I think they're really good.
Yeah.
I think they're really good. Now, obviously, Kerry Blackshear changes them, gives them an inside player. They've got excellent backcourt play. Andrew Nebhard had international experience. I think Florida. I think Gonzaga, partially, you know, it's the league they play in. They're going to run off a zillion wins. But more importantly, you know, they replaced, you know, they fixed some things that they lost. Tilly gets back. He's healthy. That's going to change. Admon Gilder is going to give him another guard that, you know, to me has a maturity about him. I think that Petrušev is really going to have a breakout type year. I just look at Gonzaga and I say, you know, they're just too good. I mean, they're just too good, and they're going to win too many games, and
yeah,
they'll end up a top five team. And then the third one is kind of a, it's interesting. I'd like to say it's Maryland. I watched them practice the other day. I think they're really versatile. I think Wiggins can shoot it. They just got to take care of the damn ball. If they take care of the ball, they'll end up in the top five.
Yeah, I'm going to give you three teams that I'm going to say North Carolina is going to jump up in there. I think Cole Anthony is going to be a big help. And of all the guys that I ever coached against, Roy Williams to me was the best coach I ever coached against. I feel like it's so simple. It's what they do. And I feel like this is one of those years for Roy Williams to bump in. I'm also going to say Memphis Seth. I think Memphis is schedule, everything else. I really think they're going to bump up in there. And I'm going to say Gonzaga. You mentioned Gonzaga. They beat Michigan State in one of these secret scrimmages. Now, who the hell knows who's playing what, who's doing what? But those would be my three. And, like, look, I'm not giving you outside teams other than, I guess, Memphis. I mean, hell, saying North Carolina or Gonzaga is going to be in the top five. What, really? Okay. That's gutsy.
You really went out on a limb.
Right? Right. I mean, Maryland, let's be honest, Maryland's got the guys to do it. And they got the experience of point guard to do it. There's no question. And they got the shooting on the wing.
Do you have confidence in Cowan? You've seen him a lot more than I have.
I love him. I do.
I mean, he's got to have a good year because Wiggins is going to have a good year. Yeah. Yell is going to have a good year. I think Lindo's plays really, really hard. I think they've got the two freshman big kids. Here's my biggest concern. You don't have to be married to play the two bigs together.
You know, everybody always says, like here in Indianapolis with the Pacers, we're going through this. Sabonis and Turner together. It's not like you got to play them for 48 minutes in the NBA, right, or you got to play them 40. You got to have a few things, maybe turn a game around, maybe, you know, who knows? And then get
play some zone. I could see them play some zone this year.
It's a little like I'm going back a few years ago, but remember Big Isaac Haas and Swanigan were together, and Matt really couldn't play them together because the ball just kept getting turned over, and then he figured it out, played them once in a while, and, you know, the world works. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And fans sometimes, because I think that fans are so wanting to, I don't know, understand or impress their friends and be in depth more. Fans always want, he's screwing this up. If he plays the bigs together, blah, 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 blah. Well, the coach usually does play the bigs together in practice. And when the ball hits the shot clock continuously or gets dribbled off of feet, you can't do it. Anyway, I just wanted to go through the top 25. I think it's interesting. The bottom part of it, Utah State's nice in there, Ohio State, Xavier, St. Mary's, Arizona. Arizona and LSU should be paired together at 21-22. They should be paired together the entire year.
You know what? They are, because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, everyone's waiting for the letter of inquiry.
Right.
When is it going to come? Is it going to come now? Is it going to come in the spring? If it comes in the spring, then they got the 90 days, and at least they can start next season without it. Look, Arizona could be really, really good. But, you know, LSU and Arizona.
So can LSU.
Very good. Very good. Like, I really like LSU's. Emmett Williams, I think, will be a monster rebounder. I think the backcourt. I absolutely love Skylar Mays. I love everything he stands for, the way he plays, his poise, his intelligence, his feel. Javonte Smart had a really good run, especially when Tremont Waters was out. They're going to have to get some legitimate depth. Watford will be interesting to see what he adds to the mix. He's got a maturity to his game, but, yeah, LSU is going to be good. I mean, I think the whole season, really, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I would love for the NCAA to do this. We're still collecting information. We are not going to be sending a letter of inquiry until the end of the season. So then, boom, we just move on with it. Because, like, here's the deal. It's really not going to impact anyone but maybe Kansas. I don't know what the 90-day window is with Kansas. I don't know how long after the 90-day window that they have the NCAA has to review it and then, you know, have their hearing. But, you know, you talk about a 90-day window. When we get into December and someone gets a letter of inquiry, look, it's March Madness. It's over with. So, like, if they don't get a letter by December, you know, this is a hall pass. And guys make another $5 million.
Once again, it's a hall pass. You and I discussed it last night. And the truth of the matter is, when you really look at it, only Patino, Juric, you mentioned Avila, I think his name was at LSU, really have lost their jobs.
Well, the AD.
The AD, yeah.
The coach remained in that, and they booed the AD when he came in to the arena because he was trying to run a program. It's interesting. I don't know. I thought the AD was supposed, you know, it's funny, I thought the AD was supposed to have a staff and a compliance staff that oversaw the athletic department. And then, so when the coach decides not to meet with the institution – after accusations are made and is suspended, you fire the AD. Okay, sure. I get it. Sure.
Just
I
means more.
I figured it out.
Just means more in the SEC, buddy.
And you know what? I this is an interesting thing because I did a breakfast yesterday to raise money for the Veeam Foundation. And I had seven coaches in this Division I coaches in the state of Connecticut there. And I posed a question to all of them. I said, what do you love most about college basketball? And what do you just disappoint you, bothers you? Do you know that unanimously the seven coaches said that we have schools that are basically on wiretaps have been known that are cheating, that are have done things that are unethical, and yet we're a year and a half into this thing, almost 2 years into this thing, and nothing has been done.
Yeah.
And that is frustrating. Pretty interesting.
Really interesting. And it's true. I mean, what more, you know, tell me where cheating doesn't pay in college basketball thus far. I mean, maybe it changes, but it hasn't changed yet. All right. Zion Williamson knee surgery out 6 to 8 weeks. I'm going to give you my take. Zion Williamson to me is the smartest basketball player that I saw in a long, long time. And I know he's physically gifted, and I know he runs and jumps and blah, 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 blah. But I'm telling you, the dude is a basketball savant. He understands everything about the game. I saw it many, many times in many different areas. But the only thing that can slow this down is simply this, his health. If he can't get his body sculpted, you cannot expect 280 pounds on 6'6" or 6'7". You cannot expect that to hold up over 82 games. And there is and I'm not saying he's immature at all. I'm just saying that I deal with it. You deal with it. We all deal with weight issues at a certain point. He's going to have to deal with them younger because he's in a sport where, quite frankly, the pounding is incredible. Well, we all deal with it, and he's going to have to mature, and he's going to have to understand the most important thing he can do for his basketball career has nothing to do with running, jumping, dribbling. It has to do with health. His conditioning, his slimness, his body fat, all the things that people weigh. I saw him in the summer. I thought he was out of shape. I'm not saying he tore his meniscus because of being out of shape, but I do know this. Shape and condition is the number one thing for that kid because he's a genius. The kid's a freaking genius basketball-wise, Seth. Give me your take.
Yeah, I mean, look, everyone talks about his running and jumping. And just in terms of basketball, the dude plays so hard, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He has a feel. He's a terrific, not a good passer, a terrific passer. He's instinctive defensively. But I agree with you. And we were both in Vegas, and as soon as I saw him, I said, here's the deal. If you are not in shape, and if you are overweight, and you're playing 82 games, the chance and opportunity for injury increase significantly. The pounding, the number of possessions, and this is different also, the number of possessions in an NBA game with 24-second clock, the number of times you start and stop, the number of times you change direction, the pounding that goes on his body compared to even college basketball is significant. You cannot improve unless you're in shape, and if you are not in shape, you are so much more susceptible to injury, and that could be the way. The best way for people to guard Zion Williamson is because he's not going to be on the court. So he needs to get, and people can say, well, that's his body type. That's great. Well, then his body type's got to change to some extent because anyone's body can't take 82 games, 24-second clock, changing direction, travel, and everything else and remain healthy. And, we can say, well, we don't know it's his weight, the reason why he got hurt. Yeah, we do. Because it's as big boned as he is, as physically is, the body can only handle so much. The body is only built to handle so much. And it's a shame because he's a phenomenon. He's a phenomenon in his personality, in his smile, in his energy that he plays with, the type of teammate he is, how genuine he is. But someone, not his family, someone needs to get a hold of him and say, hey, you'll be able to do the same things, but we've got to find the right weight. And then you know what? He's a guy that, in my opinion, is going to be on a pitch count his whole career.
You know what? It's funny. I'll go back to 1984, which is a million years ago to most people. But I remember being with Charles Barkley at the Olympic trials, and I remember how fat he was. Like, and if you go back and you look at pictures of Charles Barkley, this isn't, I mean, he's big boned and all that kind of stuff. But when you talk about, and I think you make a great point, Seth, when you talk about he's going to have to change his body type, Barkley did it. Tractor Trailer did not. Now, God rest his soul. I'm not talking, but Robert Traylor was a Zion Williamson type of a player.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he never, ever changed his body structure, his body type into what Barkley did, quite frankly. Because if you look at pictures of Barkley going through his career, particularly in Phoenix, this is an in-shape dude. This is a ripped dude, you know. Yeah. And so I think that there are Let me put it to you this way. There are a lot of guys that have eaten their way out of that league, and there are a lot of guys that made a commitment to health and fitness, and this is my job, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it's really on him which way this goes, and he's off to a bad start. He's off to a very bad start.
Look at the best players in the game. Look at their bodies.
Right.
That's play. I mean, like the guys, the best players that ever play. Look at their bodies. All right, their body. You know, and it's real simple. The analogy is kind of sophomoric. For a world class athlete, for a world class basketball player, your body is a race car. All right, oh, and God. What do they do with race cars? They put the very best fuel in them to get the best performance out of them. Plain and simple. So if your body is your vehicle, all right, it makes sense to put the very best fuel in them so you can get the best performance out of them. And what do people do with things that are worth a lot of money? They take great care of them. Well, Zion Williamson's career is worth who knows how much money. It makes just common sense that someone needs to reach him and say, like, big fella. I'd say son, but then people get offended. Big fella. All right. We've got to change. We're not changing for us. We're changing for you.
Yeah. And that's all good, but he's got to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's got to buy into it.
Somebody. Yeah. I mean, and you know, the thing about it is he would not be alone. I think sometimes people get a misconception of the NBA. Like people that, and you know way more than I do because you're the coach whisperer, but more people in the NBA will tell you.
You need help.
They will tell you that, you know what, these guys are all into nutrition. Most of them, these guys, the guys with longevity, have very few people around them other than the people, you know, my stretching guy. I remember talking to Coach K. He was nice enough to bring – my son was at camp. It's before his initial Olympics. And he was nice enough. He spent 2 hours with me just sitting in his office talking about a lot of things. And one of which was the preparation of superstars for practice. And Johnny Dawkins, his assistant at the time, was going to handle that because all of these guys had their stretching guy, their weight guy, the guy that gets them ready. That's how serious the best of the best are about their conditioning, about their physical ability to show up and play every day. And Zion's got to get with that. Hey, let me go to something you said that I think is interesting. You said Zion Williamson, you know, 2 years in a row, we had Trae Young and we had Zion Williamson. Now, let's be honest, us at ESPN, we will give you college basketball if you are a young superstar and you are getting it done like Trae Young did or getting it done with the way that Zion did. We'll give you college hoops, man. We'll talk about you every freaking day. I mean, I just can remember Jay Williams and Seth Greenberg for 19 straight hours over Thanksgiving in the studio talking about, you know, Trae Young and others. All right, you mentioned this. You said Memphis could be the Zion Williamson, and I totally agree. Because Memphis is going to sell that place out. The city is absolutely ecstatic. They have a superstar, but they have a superstar coach as well. Little Penny is a wildly popular figure. And then obviously Penny Hardaway, widely popular figure in basketball. I'm not so sure that Memphis doesn't become the hot team. Now, Houston was great last year. Great. Not good, great. They did not capture like what I think this Memphis team could capture. Your thoughts?
Here's the thing. We talked about this last night, all right? And I said, all right, who could be the next? And it's got to be a freshman because even a sophomore becomes old hat. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
All right, so it's got to be a freshman. So the only guy I could come up with was Anthony Edwards of Georgia.
Okay.
All right? But then I said to myself, wait a second. We've got a guy that could start five freshmen, not named Calipari. All right? We've got a guy that's going to go in a situation where he's going to sell out his arena every single night. We've got a storyline with the former NBA coach, second year, beats the Kentuckys and the Dukes for players. We've got something that hasn't happened in a long time in that conference. And we have enough of the vehicle because of everything and the national spotlight that all these guys are going to be in. We're going to have enough games on TV to basically perpetuate this magical mystery tour and have a coach that already said he thinks his team's going to win national championship. So like,
so there's a brashness on top of all of this, which is good.
Well, you know what I was about to say is Memphis turning into the new old school Jalen Rose, Michigan Wolverines. Aha.
No,
that could be a headline.
Yeah, hey, look, all they got to do is complain about not getting paid.
Well, they're eventually going to get paid. Give them 7 months. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I think so, Seth. I do. I don't know that there's a friend. You know, Cole Anthony, you mentioned him last night, is possibly a freshman that turns this out. I don't know. I really believe this. When you think about Trae Young 2 years ago, that's the height of Steph Curry play small, shoot from 38 feet mania. And here comes a freshman kid that looks like Steph Curry in terms of how he plays with the bounce, the dribble, blah, blah, blah. You know, coming into college basketball, captures the imagination, shooting the ball from 38 feet, bouncing it like Curry, looking like Curry, pulling up like Curry, doing the whole deal.
Logo range.
Hey, by the way, let me stop here. If you're listening to this podcast, doesn't it sound like Seth's coming off like four kills? Like he's a mafia hitman? Like if this was wiretapped and we were going into a federal court, you would be convicted right now of whatever anybody wanted to say you did because you sound like a hitman. Yeah.
Here's two things. I had a very rough week at the Coach Cal Fantasy Camp.
Oh, yeah.
My team was 2-2. Very, yeah. Very, very demanding on the boys. I just started this Invisalign because I figure I have a bad head of hair and a face for radio. At least my teeth should be perfectly straight. They're okay. Pretty straight, but so I got an Invisalign and, probably a little sleep deprivation. But if you continue to treat me the way you're doing, I do know people.
I don't think you need to know people. I think you are the people.
No. Hey, you're the man.
You know people.
Hey, you know where you're from. You definitely know people.
There used to be a time when I knew people. And if this one of those people actually called my radio show, he has escaped. True story. He has escaped Interpol to Greece. And he called me one time on my radio show. And I said, hey, if this anybody in the feds, I don't know this guy. I don't know him. I don't know him. Like, Danny boy, how you doing? I'm like, I don't know nothing. You know, anyway, that's a true story. Hey, we're going to break down a conference?
Yeah, we're going to break down a conference.
Who you want to break down?
Hey, let's do a little bit of Big 12 action.
Let's do it. What do you like other than Kansas? Let's go. Can we go Kansas last?
Yeah, we go Kansas last.
Although Kansas did not win the conference. That's big news.
Yeah, finally was right.
Yeah, you take the field.
You made fun of me on the field.
Yeah, but I mean, No. Stop. Don't take a victory lap because you had Kansas not winning a conference for the first time in 20 years. Come on. You say it every year, and this time it came. That's not a victory lap worthy. Can't have.
I mean, I went out on a limb of all the ridicule that I received. And, sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, wait a second. You do that every single day when you pick your races.
Yeah, every day. Every day.
And when you win, you take a victory out. When you lose,
yeah.
Crickets.
Crickets. Oh, yeah. Or blame somebody else.
Exactly. All right. So the league. I think Baylor has a chance to be really good. Like, really good.
Let me ask you real quick about Baylor. Baylor, to me, is on a roll. The football team is fantastic. How does Baylor continue to get this done? I mean, the Waco, Scott Drew. I mean,
yeah, it's
unbelievable what they do at Baylor.
To say the least, the place is a little different. They don't exactly sell the place out. It's kind of an eerie type place, a destination school, I would say. I'll tell you two things. One, Scott Drew is very underrated.
Yes, he is.
And he's really underrated, as Seth Greenberg always talks about recruiting. The most important part of recruiting is evaluating. And they find dudes. They find guys. Like, that. You know, they get some guys. But they find some guys. And they do a good job of even sometimes redshirting guys. They always have athletes. They're in the fifth-year transfer market or fourth-year transfer market. But, I mean, I think, you know, Vital's good. Tristan Clark could have a monster. He could be player of the year. He's really good. He can rebound. He can make shots. He plays hard. Jared Butler, I think, is going to be one of the keys. He's got to take care of the basketball. They've got transfers that, you know, that they can play man and zone. That, but that 1-1-3, I'm telling you, when you play against that 1-1-3 non-conference, as long and as athletic as they are, is good enough. They were the change of Scott Drew. Like last year, they had all those injuries of the big guys. So for the first time, he went to that small lineup and shot a ton of threes. And it just shows that he was able to read the situation, react to the situation, and not lower the standard. I thought he did a great job last year with his team. I mean, I really did.
Do you think – I love Shaka Smart. I've always said, going back, two guys I would hire, Brad Stevens and Shaka Smart. Shaka Smart
– a little insulted.
Then said Greenberg, the whisperer. three top scorers from last year gone. Missed the NCAA tournament last year. Won the NIT. Does that matter? Does that help a guy, you know, in this day and age at a school like Kansas? Like a Bowling Green would be great, right? I mean, it'd be like, hey, let's go. But does that help a guy at Kansas? Where are we with Shaka?
You mean at Texas?
At Texas, yeah.
Well, the problem is it doesn't help you because you lost your most dominant player.
Right.
To the NBA. So, I mean, like in the old days, when if you did it with sophomores or freshmen and now you have that team back, I think it helps you. Now, they have guys back. I mean, Courtney Ramey's got to be better as a sophomore. I mean, Matt Coleman as a junior, he's got to shoot better than 32% from the three. You know, I think that Febris, and, you know, they've got some guys. Jericho Sims has got to show that he can score it a little bit. So they have some guys. Now, you know, they've recruited. There's a difference between recruiting players and recruiting guys that are rated as players. Like, you can't get seduced by someone else's evaluation of someone. Like, I think the biggest thing is Shaka Smart, when he was a great, tremendously successful at VCU, right? His staff recruited guys that could play for him and play for him. What I mean by that is, because if you can't play for Shaka Smart, you can't play for anyone. I mean, play the way he wants to play. Have a dog in him. Have a competitive spirit in him. Draw a line in the sand. Be physical. Be tough. Be resilient. I think it's the same thing happens with Texas football. They recruit guys that are rated high, but I'm not sure all those guys have the DNA that it takes to then win at the next level. So, you know, could they be good? Yeah. And Andrew, I think, look, they got a great story. If Andrew Jones returns and returns healthy from
cancer
battle with leukemia, yeah. I mean, that would be an incredible story. Do they have some pieces? Yeah, they have some pieces, but I don't look at them. I look at them as an if team. I mean, I really do. I look at them as an if team. I don't look at them as a team that, in my opinion, is a lock to be in the NCAA tournament. And if they don't make the NCAA tournament, as you know, then it'll get hot there. That's just the way it is. And I'm a huge Shaka. I agree with you. I'm a huge Shaka Smart fan. I just think that getting the right guys is important. And I think they've got nice players, but they haven't gotten toughness that you need to play the way he wants to play.
Speaking of what Shaka is going through, Kansas State going through the same thing. I mean, we forget Bruce Weber, who, by the way, may be the best coach.
He can really coach.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the best, but God dang, is he good.
He can really coach.
He lost his top three scores. People forget they got a taste. They got a piece of the Big Ten or Big 12. And then also the Sooners, Oklahoma, you know, they're bringing in a bunch of new dudes, man. Eight new faces.
I like Oklahoma.
Do you like Devine Harmon?
Yeah, I like Harmon. And I like Reese. The kid sat out and transferred from Wichita State.
Yeah. You like Oklahoma better than Kansas State?
Yeah, I do.
Better than Texas?
Yeah, I do. Yep. Yeah, I do. I think that Austin Reeves is I talked to Lon Kruger this past summer, and he said, every time a guy shoots you think it's going in.
That's good.
Which is always a good thing.
Yes.
I mean, and he thinks Harmon is really – he thinks he's an elite point guard. You got Brady Manek back. You got Doolittle back. Yeah, I just think that I like their team. Kansas State, you know, they got the Arrow back, which is, you know, the Arrow has a toughness. And the problem is Xavier Sneed. All these guys' roles are going to have to change right now. You know what I mean? And I think I love my man, Dean Wade. I just thought, you know, his ability to his versatility. But I agree with you on Bruce Weber. I think that, you know, for some reason, and I don't know why. First of all, great collection of purple ties. Amazing.
How can you not?
He, He gave away his orange ties, but he's got very nice purple ties now. But like he figures out how to win with his team. But I think Oklahoma a little bit better. I think the interesting team in the league is Oklahoma State.
I was getting to them. What are your thoughts?
You know, they got these guys back.
Can I go a broader picture on Oklahoma State?
Mm-hmm.
When Eddie Sutton was at Oklahoma State was in Final Fours. Oklahoma State was as hard a team to play against as there was in the country, correct?
Yes. He was a great coach, boy.
Yeah. Is it simply that as great a coach as Coach Sutton was, you can't match that? Is that it? They haven't been able to match it?
He had the ability to get his best players the ball where they wanted to get them the ball. He got more easy baskets. I remember watching Oklahoma State one summer trying to study him. And I was just blown away about the number of easy baskets they created.
Hmm.
And then on the other end, as you know, defensively, they were suffocating.
Is it a natural fall to, you know, irrelevancy or mediocrity? Whatever you want to say. I mean, is it a natural fall?
You know, it's interesting because they redid the arena and they made it too big. So they lost a little bit of their home court.
Oklahoma State
is like a Virginia Tech. 9,000 is perfect because they're not coming from near and, you know, it's not like an easy drive. Number two is I think that Thunder hurt them a little bit, you know, because people just can stay in Oklahoma City and watch the Thunder and rather than come out and see the Cowboys. I think, they didn't have a real continuity. When Travis Ford was there, they had some good players. He didn't connect with people. Those kids kind of underachieved, and I think it snowballed from there. I think Brad Underwood would have been able to get it back. And right now, I do think that Mike Barkins is doing a really good job, but I think it's hard. The league has gotten better, don't you think, Dan? And then all of a sudden, instead of having a leapfrog two teams, now all of a sudden, you know, look, that conference is top to bottom. Good coaches, great venues, great ownership. And no bad teams. Really, really good coaches.
Yeah, I mean, look at the coaches. We haven't talked about Huggy. Huggy's only won like 9 million games in his career. You know,
and they're going to be better. He's so high on his point guard, it's unbelievable.
Really?
Huggy thinks they're good.
Well, if Huggy thinks they're good, I bet they're good. Because Huggy,
he knows.
He doesn't like every team. Let's put that route. He don't like every team.
No, he didn't like last year, too. Throwing the ball to the wrong team, not being able to defend and compete. Probably not top on the Huggies list. I think Iowa State's the sleeper team in the league.
Halliburton, you like him?
I think, yeah, he's really good. All my NBA guys that I respect, you know, tell me he's really good. They got Rashier Bolton, the kid from Penn State, eligible.
I like
him. 11 points a game. He's really good, right?
A lot.
I like Michael Jacobson's versatility.
I like him too. He's a transfer as well. I think he came in from Nebraska.
Nebraska.
I like him.
I like Iowa State. And I like Steve Prohm, by the way. I think he can really, really coach.
Do you like Iowa State or any of these teams enough to beat Kansas, even with all the crapola Kansas is going through? No?
I think Kansas is the best team in the country right now starting the season. Right now in this moment in time. Azubuike, if the Sousa is what people think, Devin Dotson, explosive off the bounce. Marcus Garrett is a great role player that defends. Abaji, to me – you know, when they decided not to redshirt him, they got depth from McCormick. Isaiah Moss, the Iowa kid, who's another shot maker.
I just
think they have the most experienced, complete lineup roster in college basketball.
Isaiah Moss going to make some shots. Isaiah Moss going to get on the left wing. Isaiah Moss going to make some shots. He's one of those guys left wing. Every time he strokes it to the corner, even to the corner, I think it's in. And when he misses,
winning player?
Going to be interesting because I don't necessarily think so. And it wasn't necessarily, let's put it this way. A lot of involvement with Isaiah Moss at Iowa. A lot of involvement. Yeah. Parental, stuff. Whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know.
If he doesn't buy in Jalen Wilson, the freshman.
Yeah.
He's supposed to go to Michigan, actually.
Yeah.
He will buy in. That team is loaded.
Yeah, I mean.
I didn't even imagine my man Mitch Lightfoot singing.
See, but here's the deal. Like, Isaiah Moss doesn't have to be anything but a guy. And if you're not going to be a guy, then you're out and a new guy comes in. And that's where that has a tendency to straighten itself out. And I love Isaiah Moss. I do. I think he's a really good player. Seemed like a really nice kid. But
does he make a smoother transition than Malik Newman did? Because it took Malik Newman a little while.
Yeah, I think he does. I think Malik Newman, I said this on a broadcast and people crushed me. I think Malik Newman didn't have an understanding that he was a – you know, who he was. He wasn't going to be the next Michael Jordan slash. He just wasn't. And coming out of high school, everybody told me he was. That takes a minute. Isaiah Moss has worked for everything that he's got. And, you know, nothing wrong there.
The league is good, man. I mean, that league is good. I think the coaches are good. The venues are good. The environments are fun. That league is good.
Desmond Bane at TCU can put it in the bucket.
Yeah, and that's one I'm interested to see, because, you know, Jamie, you know, he did a great job of evaluating when he was at Pitt. All right, great job evaluating when he was at Pitt. The Samuels kid can block shots.
Yeah.
Bane can make shots. They need to get point guard play. He will have some under the radar guys that could play, and he's created an interest and an enthusiasm. But they're probably the biggest if in the league. We'll continue with our Big 12 preview in just a moment, but first, let's pause to hear a word from today's sponsor, Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, D-Squared. Usually just kind of brush it off, blame it on others, like saying, like, you know, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether, like, yeah, I had a long day at work. I mean, I was on radio, I did TV, I had Bill Greenberg. Yeah, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But what do you think about the butt right there, D-Squared?
That's a loaded question. All right, with Roman, it's easy to talk about it with a real doctor who can prescribe real medicine, and that's important. Come on, you don't want to pay money over the counter some pill you don't know where it's from. It's simple. It's safe. It's totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medicine is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with a free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward. There you go, Seth. Get me started here, Seth.
Simple,
get me started.
And discreet. Getting started is simple. You just go to GetRoman.com/courtside and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. What do you think about that, D-Square?
Well, I think you just go to Roman.com/courtside. Don't forget the courtside. Because it gets you a free online visit and a free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/courtside for a free visit to get starting. GetRoman.com/courtside.
So we've just talked about this league for about 10 minutes, right?
Hmm?
Probably about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. We haven't even mentioned the team that lost in the championship of the NCAA.
What the hell's wrong with us?
No, I think that shows you the depth of the league. No, I think that makes sense because – you can talk about Texas. You can talk about West Virginia. You can talk about, you know, by the way, I'm telling you, I spoke to Hugs about a week ago. Miles McBride, if he plays well with Culver and big Oscar, the freshman, watch out for West Virginia. But, like, Texas Tech, I was there for 2 days. They, you know, they'll be a work in progress. You don't lose first-round draft just as year in, year out. But their culture is really strong. The only concern I have for them, a lot of pressure on T.J. Hallfield, the transfer of Stephen F. Austin. I want to see if he can compete and play as hard as he needs to play. Remember this name. And you want to look smart early in the season if you start talking about the Big 12. Terrence Shannon. That dude.
Tell me about him.
Bad dude. He is 6'7", runs, jumps, physical, can shoot it, relentless, unbelievable work ethic. Jameis Ramsey's the guy that came in with the biggest reputation in the recruiting class, and he's a slasher, and he's kind of wired to score. Terrence Shannon is going to be by January, that's going to be a bad dude right there.
Hey, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? When you said runner-up, I couldn't remember. I didn't. I'm sitting there going, who the hell's the runner-up last? Oh, yeah, Texas Tech. All right, there you go. I don't know how I even give you a better preview than that.
It doesn't get any better. Chris Clark will be a good player for Tech also, you know, transfer from Virginia Tech. Now, let me ask you one thing. Let's just each pick one school, one program, one whatever.
Yeah.
Give me an off-the-beaten path. Because, I mean, we know, you know, BYU could be good. We know that St. Mary's could be good. We know, you know, Atlantic, Kent Davidson is going to be good. Dayton has a chance to be really good with Obi Toppin. You know, that league is deeper and better this year. But like, give me an off-the-beaten-path squad that maybe they get into the tournament, people could go, ooh, they might win a game.
I gave last year or a year before, I can't remember, Buffalo, because coaching in the MAC, I have an affinity for the MAC. Coaching at Bowling Green, I have an affinity for Bowling Green. One of my best players is an assistant there, Michael Huger, great guy. I'm going with Bowling Green. Let me tell you why. Last year, Bowling Green in December, coaches thought they were going to get fired. True story. They hell, the AD's traveling with them. They don't know what the hell's going on. Next thing you know, they get on a heck of a run and lose in the championship game of the MAC to a very good, a top 25 good team in Buffalo. Well, the truth of the matter is, in the MAC, this is what happens. You come back off of that, and talking to my boys down there, they think they're going to be very good. They think they're going to be not only, well, I shouldn't say the best team in the league. They think they could be the best team in the Mid-American Conference. They've got experience back. They've got size back. And most importantly, and this is what I like about Michael Huger, Michael Huger has brought toughness back to Bowling Green. And the truth of the matter is, when you have athletic ability, which they do, they have experience, which they do, and you got real toughness now, not fake toughness, not, you know, the kind of toughness where guys talk and, you know, put three people between them and want to fight somebody. They have real toughness. And you know what? At the end of the day, quite frankly, that sells in the MAC. You get a little experience. You get going a little bit. They had a kid, Wiggins, that was going to try the NBA. That's how good he was. Justin Turner averaged 18 last year. Wiggins, a big kid, can rebound. And not ready for the NBA, but what the hell? I don't know. You know, this Turner kid, all right, let me just give you him for a minute. He's from Detroit. He's a bigger guard, 6'4", 200 pounds. He's been averaging, like when he was a sophomore, averaged 16. Last year, averaged 18. You're talking about a guy that historically in the MAC, as a senior, has led his team to a championship and a win or two in the tournament, and we'll see. But I like Bowling Green, and it's a bit of a homer pick, but it's also not. It's also a bit of a, you know, they came through some garbage, and now here they are. So I like them.
I like it. I'll give you one. Well, last year, Jake agrees.
Jake's all in on Bowling Green. Thank you, Jake.
Jake just said, I'm in on it. He said he's a big Falcon fan. You know, last year, Wofford was kind of almost a Cinderella, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like Wofford. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Mike Young flipped that to get the Virginia Tech job. Very well-deserving from Radford, Virginia. Great story. Fletcher McGee knocking down jumpers from everywhere. And that was a great story. That conference, the SoCon. Pretty good conference. All right. Now, Greensboro will be good again. But the team that I like and the guy that I'm just a big fan of, and maybe it's because I just think this guy is not a good coach. I think he's a great coach. He's a guy that that has done an incredible job. Steve Forbes at East Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And this is his fifth year with the Bucks. I mean, he might have his best team ever. He returned seven of their top eight. Including three all-conference players. Now, how many people – forget about any conference. Who returns three all-conference players? Not a lot of people.
No, you're right.
Jeremy Rodriguez is like a double-double waiting to happen. He's a big physical kid. Right, they've got depth in their front court. They take care of the ball. 3-1 assist to turnover ratio. I mean, like, they take care of the ball. They flat defend you. I mean, they don't defend you. They just get out after it. They can shoot the three. They've got a pair of returning guards that made over 83s. They have a toughness about them. They're athletic. They're well coached. And they've got legitimate size. They're a team. If they win the SoCon, if I was picking a bracket, I would carefully evaluate them.
There you go.
Because they're carefully a team that could go and win a game in the NCAA tournament.
Carefully evaluate is a great way to put it. That, you know, instead of just cast aside because they're in a smaller league.
Yeah, I would look at it and say, you know, let me look at these matchups. Let me see, yeah, you know, because this team has a chance to be pretty good. I'll tell you the other team if they win their conference is Harvard.
Yeah.
Harvard's, how many times has it been said in the same conversation? Probably not a lot. Harvard has dudes. I mean, Harvard has guys that are returning. Harvard has guys as backward. The Aiken kid's really, really, really good. Seth Towns is back. He's healthy now. He was the player of the year. I mean, Harvard has got athleticism. Harvard has shot makers. Harvard has playmakers. Bryce Aiken is, I mean, over 20 points a game, 40% from the three. I mean, that's just amazing. Seth Towns. All right, he's returning. He's healthy. Christian Juzang, actually, the brother of Johnny Juzang, who's a freshman at Kentucky, will be a four-year starter, really smart, understands how to play. Noah Kirkwood's very good. I mean, Harvard's a team that will beat people in non-conference and has a chance to win a game in the NCAA tournament.
Thank God. I don't think we can give it to you any harder than we just did there, people, or any better.
We couldn't stand it. That's why we're the world's greatest podcast. We're just, you know, that's the way it is.
All right.
How's the hip? We need a quick hip report.
The hip is good. I'm walking with a cane. Don't need it. Off of the good meds or the bad meds. I don't know. I'm very careful with medication, so I'm off that. I'm actually headed today. I'm going to go watch the Ohio State University practice. I did a poor job. Probably we did a poor job. Next week we'll talk Pac-12. We're also going to hit it hard, the student section questions next week. We'll hit that really, really hard. Seth, close us out here with where to go with all the podcast stuff.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Wherever you listen to your podcast, so it's Apple Podcast or wherever. You can also download us, obviously, off of the Pod Center at ESPN.com. The most important thing you need to do when you go and you listen to this podcast on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it is like us, because we're not good. We're really, quite honestly, we're very good. In fact, you can't be the world's greatest podcast unless you are very good. So please listen, download, like us, because we look forward to being back with you next week. You know what next week we're going to do, Coach?
Tell me.
I think next week we might have to either get Coach Calipari or Coach Izzo to kick off the season.
Let's do it. Yep, we got to have them. Yep, no doubt.
Done deal. Let's do it.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.